ஓம் பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி, லெக்சர் 11, ஸ்லோகா 58. வாக் வைகரீ சப்தஜரீ சாஸ்திர வியாக்யான கௌசலம் வைதுஷ்யம் விதுஷாம் தத்வத் புக்தயே ந து முக்தயே. சோ இன் தி ஃபாலோயிங் ஸ்லோகா சங்கராச்சாரியா ஹி வாண்ட்ஸ் டு வார்ன் ஆல் தி வேதாந்திக் ஸ்டூடெண்ட்ஸ் டு ஹாவ் எ ப்ராப்பர் ஆட்டிடியூட் இன் தி ஸ்டடி ஆஃப் வேதாந்தா. இஃப் நாட் தி வேதாந்திக் ஸ்டடி மே நாட் லிபரேட் அ பர்சன் ஆர் வேர்ஸ் தி வேதாந்திக் ஸ்டடி இட் செல்ஃப் கேன் பிகம் another type of a golden shackle. And what is the aim of the Vedantic study? It is to remove all types of psychological dependencies called samsara. We have got various dependencies in the samsara. It is just to remove all those dependencies. Now I depend on so many factors to be happy. We are not talking about the physical dependencies. They may be unavoidable. For example, we need food, we need shelter, we need clothing. When I grow old, I need people, I need a walking stick, I need glasses. So all those things are necessary. Vedanta does not cure any physical dependencies. It cannot be avoided. But Vedanta talks about dependencies on external factors for the sense of security, for the sense of fulfillment, for purnatvam and all those things. So these dependencies, they can be classified into four types. First, the dependency on the world to be happy. The people around, I want the people all around me all the time. So that is dependencies on the anatma. And then there is dependence on the God. Since objects and people, they always change, they perish. So bhakti, etc. So shastras, they say, even dependence on God, as long as it is a personal God, that God also comes under anatma only. Because that God has a form, name. For example, all the gopis, they were all very unhappy when Krishna left Gokula. And became even more unhappy when Krishna went with another gopi. So This is another type of dependency, dependency on God. And the third one is dependence on the Guru. For example, if you have to drop the God dependence also, you should learn to depend on oneself. For that, one should get self-knowledge. So discover the inner strength. So for the sake of gaining self-knowledge, you have to go to a Guru. Therefore, God dependence now is replaced by the dependence on a Guru. So, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo, Maheshwaraha, all those things. And Guru dependence also falls within Anatma category only as a person. And so, Guru dependence also should be transcendent. And the fourth dependence is dependence on Shastras. What does the Guru do? He teaches the Shastras and says, you have to do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all those things. So, Shastra to be dwelt upon all the time, both during and after the study. Therefore, Guru dependence is replaced by Shastra dependence, which is also Anatma only, so that it is also within Samsara. So, the Vedantic student should constantly remember his aim to drop all these dependencies, all these four dependencies, all come under Anatma only. I may be at any level, for example, at the world level. Until you start depending on the God, do not leave the dependency on the world. That's absolutely fine. No problem at all. And hold on to God till you come to the Guru. And hold on to the Guru till you come to the Shastras. That's fine. But do not hold on to them forever. So hold on to a Guru till the Shastra is sufficiently comprehended. And hold on to Shastras until I become Atman Evam Atmana Tushtaha, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. So then on Shastras, you don't hang on to them also. So if this is not understood, all these four initially can help. But these four can themselves become a refined form of samsara bondage only. So first we can say we have a rope shackle, and then we got a chain shackle, iron chain shackle, then silver chain shackle, and then finally gold chain shackle only. Therefore, don't get lost in mere scholarship. Always ask the question, what do I study for? Don't convert Vedanta to another sense object of enjoyment or pleasure. We don't want a feather for completing each Upanishadic study. So Swami Chinmayananda says, you say that you have gone through all the 11 Upanishads, but how many of them have gone through you? You might have gone through all the 11 Upanishads. How many of them have gone through you? In fact, even if one Upanishad has really gone through us, that's the end of it. No problem. So don't forget the aim. Vedanta is not for mere scholarship. So he says, Vag Vaikari. A person might have a powerful speech or eloquent speech, walk. In the field of what? In the field of Vedanta. And Shabdajari, he might enjoy a wonderful flow of words. Shabdajalam, without, you know, stammering he can talk, without pausing, without hesitating. The words may come like a torrential flow. People may even glorify very much. But Acharya says that is not enough. Shastra Vyakarana Kaushalam, Vyakyana Kaushalam. And he may have even skill to comment upon many scriptural texts, the Gita, the Upanishads, the Brahma Sutras. These are all what? Vidusham Vaidushyam. This is the scholarship of the scholars, Mahamahopadhyayas. And all this scholarship does not guarantee anything. This can also become another bondage or a sense pleasure only. Tat Bhuktaye Bhavati. If proper attitude is not there and the aim is forgotten, it can become a simple intellectual kick. Like Karl Marx, you know, someone said, religion is like opium for some people. Similarly, Vedanta also will become one such. So, Bhuktaye Natu Muktaye. It will not lead to liberation, Mukti, because I as a scholar will get into competition with another scholar and I will feel bad because I can comment upon 100 texts whereas he has commented upon 101 texts. It is also like I have 2 cars, he has 3 cars and things like that. It becomes one of such comparisons. So even sannyasis, one may compare with another sannyasi. He has so much of following. I have only less following. He is going to so many countries. He has so many ashramas. He has so many students, so many foreign students. So Swamijis also have such problems. So all in the field of Vedanta. And then what is the Vedanta for? Because everybody teaches Vedanta only. So to say that there is no second thing at all, that is Vedanta. And what is taught is, but mere scholarship still is a bondage if one is not alert. And Vedanta can be a trap. So people can get into Vedanta and get trapped on that. So the very Gurudam, like kingdom, the Gurudam can become a trap. So he says, Acharya says, be careful. Tadvatim Bhuktaye. Vedanta can become a sense pleasure only, natu Muktaye, not for liberation if a person is not alert. But we should understand carefully, this is not a generalization. The idea is, if proper approach is not there, Vedanta cannot liberate. So fearing that, if I say, therefore I won't study Vedanta, that liberation then certainly will not be there. So one cannot fear for that and saying that I will not study Vedanta, but one should study Vedanta with a proper attitude. So the idea is not to give up Vedanta, but to study Vedanta being alert. That's what Acharya cautions. Shloka 59. Avijnate pare tatve shastraditistu nishphala. Vijnate pi pare tatve shastraditistu nishphala. Here also, a similar idea is emphasized by the Acharya. The aim of Shastric study must be clearly remembered throughout the study. Otherwise, it will become another trip into scholarship. Ego trip. Big samsara again. That is, Shastri study is the means but not an end in itself. That understanding should be there. And any means is relevant only when the end is accomplished. I should remember the means is a means only and the end is something else. To convey this idea, Acharya says it in a particular way. He puts them all in a peculiar language. He says, Shastric study becomes useless under two conditions. What are those conditions? One, suppose I use Shastric study as an end in itself and enjoy it as a sense pleasure, and I make Shastric study into another permanent dependence and is useless since it does not give what it is supposed to give. That is, make me independent of what? Of Shastra itself. That's what Shastra study should tell me. I should become independent of Shastra study also. That's what it is supposed to tell me. Guru is a guru only when he makes the Shishya independent of the guru. Then only he is a successful guru. For example, one says, "Oh teacher, without you I am miserable." Then that teacher is not a good guru at all. He should make the person feel independent of himself or herself. So for the guru also to feel that I am wanted very much. Some gurus might think that's good. Okay, people want me all the time. I am wanted. That is also another type of samsara for the guru. So any relationship is ideal only when the members become independent of that relationship. Similarly, if I go on studying Shastras and the Shastra study does not make me independent of everything, the world, the God, the Guru, the Shastra, all these four factors, then the Shastra study is nishphala, not useful, futile. That is statement number one. And the second statement he gives is, Shastra study becomes futile after the discovery of independence. That means what? Aham Brahma Asmi Iti Jnanam. Once you gain that knowledge, Shastra study becomes useless. Again, it is futile. This is the language of presentation here. But what is the essence? Use the Shastras to become independent of everything, including Shastra itself. After discovery of independence, one may enjoy Shastras as a leela, krida, like a play. You know, oh, what a beautiful language, what a beautiful literature, what a beautiful comparison. One can enjoy all those things. Because after some time, I may not be able to hear or read because of my health. I grow old and old. I may not be able to read. I may not be able to recite. My teeth might have all fallen down. So I should like to do all that thing today. But after gaining the knowledge, there is no need of again spending all the time into Shastras than reveling on one's own true nature. Then what is the difference between a worldly person who cannot watch a movie and a Vedantic student becoming miserable because he cannot attend a class or listen to a recording or read a Vedantic text? There is no difference at all between them. Both cannot feel miserable for not doing each other's interest. So the aim should be very clear. One has to become totally independent. That's what he says. So, avijñāte pare tattve. If the highest tattvam, pare tattve, is not understood, avijñāte, or realized, shastra adhitihi tu nishpala. If the highest tattvam is understood, in studying of shastra, shastra adhitihi, studying of shastras tu nishpala is useless. And pare tattve vijñāte api, if the highest tattvam is understood, vijñāte, shastra adhitihi tu nishpala. Studying the Shastras also is useless or not needed. That's what we should understand. Here when you say useless, it is not needed anymore. Scholarship is useless after liberation. Scholarship is useless without liberation. And scholarship is useful for liberation. One should understand that is the essence of this shloka. Shloka 16.
Shabda jalam maharanyam chitta brahmana karanam ata prayatnat jnatavyam tatpajñais tatpamatmanaha.
So in this shloka also, the Acharya wants to clarify that we should not get entrapped in the Shastric words and miss the goal. If I am not alert, I may get into more and more into Shastric words, because in our tradition, the Shastras are endless. Even if you take the Upanishads alone, many Acharyas have commented on them. అండ్ 11-12 సిస్టమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫిలాసఫీస్ హావ్ బీన్ డిరైవ్డ్ డెవలప్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఉపనిషత్స్. ది విశిష్ట అద్వైత ఫిలాసఫీ, ద్వైత ఫిలాసఫీ, అద్వైత ఫిలాసఫీ, శుద్ధ అద్వైత ఫిలాసఫీ, వేద అద్వైత ఫిలాసఫీ, సో మెనీ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. సో దెన్ గీతా, బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్, ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ ఈచ్ వన్, దే ఆల్ హ్యావ్ సో మెనీ కమెంట్రీస్. అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ అద్వైత ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్, వీ హ్యావ్ గాట్ కౌంట్లెస్ నెంబర్ ఆఫ్ ఒరిజినల్ వర్క్స్. దర్ ఆర్ కమెంట్రీస్, సబ్ కమెంట్రీస్, సబ్ సబ్ కమెంట్రీస్, లైక్ 5 లెవెల్స్ ఆఫ్ కమెంట్రీస్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ ద బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్, దెన్ వీ హ్యావ్ కమెంట్రీ బై ఆదిశంకర, అదర్శ శంకర భాష్య. And then there is Bhamati, and that is which is sub-commentary. And for Bhamati, there is another sub-commentary called Kalpataru. And for Kalpataru, there is another sub-commentary called Parimalam. And that is, it is sub-commentary. And someone condenses all 5 and puts something like Tattva Sudha. That is another commentary also. So, go on, commentaries galore. People can spend all the life in just reading the commentaries only. And if we are not alert, we can get into a trap from which we can never come out. Acharya wants sabda jalam. Sabda jalam means the maze or snare or labyrinth of shastric words is like maha aranyam. It's like a deep forest. Once you get into that, it's very, very difficult to get out. So one should be alert. Like Abhimanyu's Padma Vyuha, you may enter but cannot come out and may even forget the very purpose of entering into that maze. Certainly, there is an intellectual thrill in studying shastras, that is true, but it can be like an intellectual drug addicted to one, that one can get very easily absorbed in or addicted to. It may lead to what? Chitta Brahmana Karanam. It's cause for all confusion, bewilderment. Then why should Acharya write all these books, so many commentaries and all? Why should he write at all? The idea is, when Shastra makes any statement, we should remember it is valid only under certain conditions. No statement is absolutely and unconditionally valid. And generally, Shastra gives statements without giving the condition. It just only makes the statement. And majority of students generally accept it and they have no problem. This is 99%, 90%+ of the students, they just accept it. But there may be some deep thinker who will find that there is some shakiness in that statement. And the teacher has to talk about certain condition to explain to that student. And there are several other conditions in which that statement may not be true. But there is some condition under which only the statement can be true. So the teacher has to explain that. There may be a still deeper thinker and he might question that also. So again, the teacher has to come with another set of conditions under which the statement could be validated. So the quest will continue and we have extreme scholarship level wherein deep doubts might come, which are addressed in very advanced Vedanta books. It is, you know, like, for example, water boiling. What is the boiling point of water? Somebody says 100 degrees centigrade. But one sharp student might say, then if that water, if it is, what kind, what type of water it is? It has lot of, you know, some impurities there, or if it is like a, like more salt is there, pH of the water is it not exactly the neutral pH? So then you, under that condition, the boiling point will be something else. And another person will ask, is it under what kind of pressure condition? And you say, okay, if the pressure is so and such, then is the water is boiling. So go on putting condition after condition after condition. So the common student mostly will accept the fact, yes, water boils at 100 degrees. But if there is another student who is a little more informed, he will ask some more questions and keep on asking questions. All these are called Shabda Jalam. In Tarka Shastra, there is a statement. What is generalization? It says, Yatra Yatra Dhumaha Tatra Tatra Agnihi. Very simple statement. Where there is smoke, there is fire. Very simple. And at last, see, this is a very, very thing, this thing. And finally, going on analyzing this back and forth and back and forth, they come up with the definition, which is 20 sentences long for this particular thing. It's a very long passage. And there are sharper students and every statement is valid under certain conditions. So even for a simple thing, where there is smoke, there is fire, there are such long, long statements going on, identifying what condition should be, what condition should be further and all in Tarka. There are sharper students and these definitions they derive after 20 pages of analysis.
these 20 definitions, they take 20 conditions, they come after 20-30 pages of analysis, and they say this is the definition suggested by the opponents. That means what? It is not ours. That means they are going to refine even this definition by adding some more conditions, adjectives and all that. So we have levels and levels of books to satisfy different levels of intellect. And a teacher provides statement which a common person, a lay person will ask. Those questions are generally answered. If there are doubts, those advanced books have to be studied. If not alert, it will be what? Chitta Brahmana Karanam. Therefore, Ataha Prayatnat Jnatavyam. Therefore, very alertly concentrate on knowing Prayatnat, the basic teaching. Don't get lost in the thrills of Vedanta. What is the main teaching? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That is the straight teaching. Jivo Brahma Ivanapara. That is all the teaching. I am the Chaitanya Swarupaha, who is ever free. So whatever I experience is Jadam, including my own body-mind complex. That is all Vedanta teaches. So the Jadam cannot affect Chaitanyam. This is what is required for liberation. This knowledge alone is required. Jadam is never free. Chaitanyam is ever free. Jadam is ever influenced by Desha, Kala and Prarabdha. I, the consciousness, am not affected by any of these. If this is understood, that is enough. One doesn't have to go through all those 20-30 pages of that definition, this definition, any of those. All others are only to re-emphasize these. Therefore, prayatnat, alertly, jnatavyam, one should know. Atmanaha tatvam, the essential free nature of oneself. Tatvajnaihi, by the knowers or seekers of the truth. So remember the goal, that is what is repeatedly asserted by Shankara. One can get interested in the Shastras, that's fine, but always one should be alert to the goal. Sloka 61. Ajnana sarpadashtasya brahma jnana ushadham vina kimu vedaischa shastraischa kimu mantrai kim aushadaihi. Here Shankaracharya, he reminds the goal again, which should be remembered during the study of Vedanta. And what is the goal? Removal of our samsara disease. That is what Vedanta does. How did it come? Because of snake bite. The samsara problem came because of a snake bite. What is the snake here? The ajnana sarpa dashtasya. The special snake bite called the ajnanam. Ajnana sarpa dashtasya. Bitten by the snake of ignorance. It is only symbolic. And the biting is only to indicate the affliction and not the time. Since ajnanam is anadi, there is no time zero. Whereas snake bite has a time zero. But this is ajnanam is anadi. This is the proper interpretation. And what is the poison injected by the bite? Samsara is the poison. What is the samsara poison? I am not happy with myself. I need people. I need conditions. I need external factors to be happy. This psychological need, which makes me feel miserable, that is the poison of samsara. So, brahma jnana aushadam vina. This samsara will never go without the brahma jnana aushadam. That is, I am free. I don't need love from anyone. I am myself an embodiment of love, which is purnatvam. Purnatvam expressed is fullness. Purnatvam expressed is love. Expressed limitation is seeking love. So when I am incomplete, I seek love. When I am complete, I give love. So love is only an empirical expression of the sense of Purnatvam. So without the discovery of Purnatvam, which is called Brahmajnana Aushadam. Aushadam is the medicine. So without this Brahmajnanam, you may do anything in life. Samsara will continue only. So without this knowledge, Kimu Vedaihi. What is the use of studying any study of Veda, chanting, Karmakanda portion, Upasana Kanda portion of Vedas? What is the use of studying any of them? Not the Jnana Kanda, but what is the use of studying any of those? Kimu Shastraischa, what is the use of any amount of all of the Shastras? Like Tarka, Mimamsa, Vyakarana, one can be a Pandita in all of them. వాట్ ఇస్ ది యూస్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దెమ్? కిము మంత్రైహి, వాట్ ఇస్ ది యూస్ ఆఫ్ రిసైటింగ్ సో మెనీ నెంబర్ ఆఫ్ మంత్రాస్? బాలా త్రిపుర సుందరి మంత్ర, అనవాక్షరి, అష్టా, ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ మంత్రాస్. వాట్ ఇస్ ది యూస్ ఆఫ్ స్టడీ, లెర్నింగ్ అండ్ రిసైటింగ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్? అండ్ కిమ్ ఔషధైహి, వాట్ ఇస్ ది యూస్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ మెడిసిన్ ఆల్సో? హియర్ ఆల్సో వీ షుడ్ బి వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్. Shankara does not criticize Karmakanda. We should be very careful, because people often might misquote these sentences. They may say Shankaracharya condemned rituals. No, he doesn't condemn rituals at all any time. Shankara respects rituals, pujas, bhakti, japa, all of them. He has himself said in the 11th shloka, chittasya shuddhaye karma. Mental purity will come only through karma, puja, parayana, bhakti. What he says is, karma cannot help in jnanam, but is a must for gaining purity of mind. After gaining purity of mind, then it is not relevant anymore. All these are useless without Brahma jnanam for the one who is bitten by this ajnana, this samsara. Even Vedanta Shastra is useful only if it is used for Brahma jnanam. If it is used for scholarship or dependence, then that also is useless. The Vedanta study also becomes useless. That is the idea. Shloka 62. Na gacchati vinapanam vyadira ushada shabdataha vinaparokshanubhavam brahma shabdairna muchyate. So even Vedanta Shastra will not help a person if it remains at the lip level. Should not be just at the lip level, not meant for word jugglery, show off, or to get a job, writing books, getting degrees. Not for any of those. He says, he gives an example here. Vyadihi. Vyadihi means a person who has got some disease, let us say, some disease some person has. The doctor has prescribed a relief. For example, he has temperature. The doctor asked him to take some Tylenol. And this person, what the prescribed Tylenol, he wrote Tylenol, a piece of paper, gave it to him. And what this person did? He went on doing the japa, starting the japa on the word Tylenol, 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 108 times. Fever has increased only, never decreased. So he increased the japa from 108 to 1008, to 10008. Fever never went anywhere. So he says, the shabda are words that will relieve you, but you know, the meaning that is grasped only, that will relieve you, but not the words. Word by themselves will not relieve, but the artha, namely consuming the medicine, that alone will remove samsara. So, padam na mochayati, pada artha mochayati. Padam na mochayati. So, Tylenol padam na mochayati, it will not relieve. Tylenol padartha, the tablet, that alone will relieve. Similarly, aham brahma asmi words do not release me from samsara. But when I say aham brahma asmi, it should be a fact for me. When I say aham brahma asmi, what I should feel? I should aham triptosmi, aham purnosmi. Whether it conveys the meaning to others or not, that is different. It should become meaningful statement or coming out from my internal heart, innermost heart. That is why once in a while, it is good to do some introspection of oneself. Especially if you are a Vedantic student for years, many years of attending Vedanta classes, one should do introspection of oneself. Am I Purnaha? Am I full or full and complete? If I do some soul searching and can say, yes, I am, then I have accomplished what should be accomplished. So as Vidyaranya, he says in Panchadashi, అహో శాస్త్రం అహో శాస్త్రం అహో గురుహు అహో గురుహు ధన్యోస్మి కృతకృత్యోస్మి ఐ ఆమ్ ఫుల్ఫిల్డ్ ఐ డోంట్ కేర్ వాట్ అదర్స్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ మీ ధన్యోస్మి సో వన్స్ ఇన్ అ వైల్ ఐ షుడ్ ఆస్క్ మైసెల్ఫ్ ఐ షుడ్ డూ మై ఇంట్రాస్పెక్షన్ సో హీ సేస్ ఔషధ శబ్దత బై రిపీటింగ్ ద వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఔషధ మెడిసిన్ టైలినాల్ శబ్దేన వ్యాధి నా గచ్చతి డిసీజ్ డస్ నాట్ గో అవే దెన్ హౌ డస్ ఇట్ గో అవే పానం వినా షుడ్ కన్స్యూమ్ ద మెడిసిన్ పానం మీన్స్ యర్ మెడిసిన్ ద ఔషధం షుడ్ ఎంటర్ ద బ్లడ్ స్ట్రీమ్ ఆఫ్టర్ కన్స్యూమింగ్ దాట్ సిమిలర్లీ బ్రహ్మ శబ్దై నా ముచ్యతే బై రిపీటింగ్ ద మహావాక్యాస్ అహం బ్రహ్మాస్మి ఫర్ అ హోల్ డే అండ్ అనదర్ డే తత్వమసి, అనదర్ డే అయమాత్మా బ్రహ్మ, అండ్ అనదర్ డే ప్రజ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మ, అనదర్ డే చిదానంద రూప శివోహం శివోహం. హీ కెన్ గో ఆన్ రిసైటింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్ మంత్రాస్. ఫైనలీ ఆఫ్టర్ రిసైటింగ్ ఆల్ ఫర్ సో మెనీ డేస్ శివోహం శివోహం హీ సేస్ అట్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ హీ ఆస్క్ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఆమ్ ఐ రియలీ శివ. సో దెర్ఫోర్ అపరోక్ష అనుభవం వినా, వితౌట్ ద అపరోక్ష జ్ఞానం, వితౌట్ ఇంటర్నలైజేషన్, వితౌట్ అసిమిలేషన్, వితౌట్ మేకింగ్ ఇట్ అ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఫార్ మీ నా ముచ్చతే, వన్ ఈజ్ నెవర్ లిబరేటెడ్, వన్ విల్ నెవర్ గెట్ లిబరేషన్. సో స్టడీ ఆఫ్ ద శాస్త్ర, యూస్ ఇట్ యాస్ అ మీన్స్ ఫార్ లిబరేషన్, అండ్ ఈవెన్ వెన్ యూ స్టడీ నెవర్ ఫర్గెట్ ద గోల్ ఆఫ్ ద శాస్త్ర విచ్ ఈస్ లిబరేషన్. Otherwise, it will be only an academic exercise. Shloka 63. Akritva adrishya vilayam ajnatva tatva matmanaha brahma shabdhai kuto muktihi ukti matra palairnam. So the same idea is presented in a different way. In the second line, brahma shabdhaihi kutaha muktihi. Mere verbal repetition, Purma Shabdaihi, of the Upanishads or their commentaries will not help you all. No doubt, you have to study the Upanishads. There is no choice. You have to come to the words of the Upanishads. You can't avoid the words. That is the only communication medium for knowledge. How do you communicate knowledge? Even in the case of Siddhas, transfer of powers may be possible by touch. There may be a Siddha Purusha. He can give you your blessing by some siddhi, by touching you, by looking at you, by hugging you. The Puranas say all this possible. Even the youth can be transferred. Actually, there is a story of Yayati. There is a king Yayati. The father, he gave Jara, his old age, to his son. And the son gave him youth to the father. So such siddhis are accepted in the Puranas and the literature. But no such transfer is mentioned in the scriptures and is not possible in the case of Atmajnanam. That can never be given in this manner. And the only means of transference of knowledge is through words of the Upanishads. Words, words and words. Keep on telling them. Even Lord is transferring self-knowledge to us by only one method, the Upanishadic words. Upanishads convey the information. They are words. So words are extremely important for communication. But what Shankara says is, words are important as means, but not an end in themselves. So don't hang on to the books, which are only containers of words. So from words, the Shabda, the Sadhanam, one has to come to the Artha, which is the Sadhyam, the goal. So here Shankaracharya criticizes those people who hang on to the words without coming to the artha. So he says, Brahma Shabdaihi, by mere words, Kutaha Muktihi, where is liberation? It can give you what benefit? Ukti Matra Palaihi, only benefit is what? You can quote the Upanishad left and right. You can give a big lecture. You can quote the Bhagavad Gita, quote the Upanishad. Others may say, you are a great scholar. Except that there is no other benefit if you hang on to the words alone. Drinam kuto muktihi. How can there be liberation for human being if this is what they do? So what is more important? The artha is more important. I have to internalize that fact that is conveyed in the artha of the words, in the meaning of those words. And that is said in the first line. Atmanaha tatvam. The fact about my true nature. Atmanaha tatvam. And why should we use the word true nature? Because we have got a false nature. That is, changing or incidental nature is false nature. My physical personality, my emotional personality, my intellectual personality. The only permanent changeless feature in me is what? I am a conscious being. Chit. With Sat, the existence principle. So Sat Chit alone is my intrinsic nature. That is why in deep sleep, I drop all my physical, intellectual, emotional personalities. But what remains? Sanmatraha karanopa samharanato. So this is what is said in the Dakshinamurti Stotram. Yobhut sushuptaha puman. No doubt all that I I exist during sleep also because I know sleep is not non-existence but only is non-transactional. During deep sleep, I don't transact anything, but I am still existing. Not only I was existent during deep sleep, I was a conscious being also because after waking up, I say I did not experience anything. I had a sound sleep. So I am a conscious, existent being. So my personal, emotional, intellectual personalities are fake I. The real I is Satchitatma. The first part of Vedantic teaching is this. Atmanaha Tattvam. Then what is the second part of Vedantic teaching? Everything else other than this real nature is less real than me. They are dependent on me. They are mithya. That is the second teaching. The relationship between me and the world is like the relationship between clay and the pot. We don't question the availability of the pot. We see the pot. We feel the pot. We experience the pot. But I know that pot cannot exist independent of clay. Similarly, the world cannot exist independent of Chaitanyam, that is myself. This is called Aham Satyam Jagan Mithya. And this falsification of the world is called here as Drishya Vilayam. In this shloka, it's called Drishya Vilayam. Literally, it means what? Resolution of world. Drishya means object. Object here is world. And vilayam means dissolution or resolution or falsification. Knowing that it does not have an independent existence. It is like Vedanta using the word dissolving the desk. For example, in Vedanta we say, we dissolve the desk. What does it mean? It is not physical dissolution of the desk with some acid or base or something else. Vedantic dissolution is purely an intellectual job of knowing that there is no substance called desk other than wood. What is the substance? Previously it was wood. Now also it is wood. Later also, even if you destroy the desk, it is wood. So desk is a new word, but not a new substance. So we say wood is and desk does not exist. Wood exists. Desk does not exist independent of wood. So this understanding is called dissolution of the desk. So we use this word dissolution because there afterwards, when I see a desk, the wood knowledge is with me. And I know that desk has got only verbal existence. So Chandogya Upanishad, it says that desk exists only on your tongue. Vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. It's only vacharambanam. Similarly, the Upanishad says the world exists on your tongue only, not a substance. This understanding is called Drishya Vilayam in this shloka. This Drishya Vilayam. Then what is the advantage of that? This discussion is purely an intellectual affair. In what way it will affect my emotional problem? How my worry will go away by knowing this? So there is further the answer we give is, once I know that I am Satyam, the world is only Namarupa, then my attitude towards the world will change. What is that? This world cannot affect me, affect the real me. Just as the dream tiger or the movie tiger, for example, cannot affect me at all. That is why they have got the usage, you know, paper tiger. You know, so this is will not affect me. So this world cannot affect me. So any notional insecurity will go away. What about other emotional problems? Vedanta says all other emotional problems are only products of this basic sense of insecurity, like kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryas. So that insecurity goes away once I know aham, satyam and jagat, mithya. I don't require security from the world. In fact, the world is secure because of me. That knowledge I will gain. Just as the clay saying, I am not secure because of the pot. In fact, pot gets security from me, the clay. And this fact should be understood and internalized, assimilated. So, Drishya Vilayam is Jagan Mithyatva Nishchayaha. Atmanaha Tattvam means Atma Satyatva Nishchayaha. the firm belief. So both are most important aspects of Vedantic pursuit. That is Drishyavalayam, Jagan Mithyatva Nishchayaha, and Atmanaha Tattvam, Atma Satyatvam Nishchayaha, both. Without these two, whatever one does is useless. Therefore, Akritva Drishyavilayam, without Jagan Mithyatva Nishchaya, and Ajnatva Atmanaha Tattvam, without Atma Satyatva Nishchayaha, whatever you do, they will all remain isolated in your brain. And then it will not help face any situation, including, for example, the temperature rise in summer. We'll feel so miserable if the fan goes off. Sloka 64. Akritva shatru samharam agatva kila mushritam mushriyam raja hamidi shabdannaha raja bhavitu marhati. So this shloka is an example to explain the idea contained in the previous shloka. That is, aham brahmasmi, verbal statement is not enough. The example of a king is given who has lost his kingdom. We have to imagine a king was there who lost his kingdom, taken away by his enemies. So the kingdom legitimately belongs to this king. And so he can legitimately claim that aham raja asmi, he can say, because legitimately kingdom belongs to him. Even though it is a fact, until he is able to take back the kingdom and drive away the enemies, the mere statement that I am king will be of no use. So he has to fight and send away the enemy and take back the kingdom. Then alone, aham raja asmi will be a meaningful statement, factual statement. Similarly, aham brahma asmi is a fact, and we can legitimately claim that also. And Brahman, the king of the whole creation, then aham rikshasya reriva kirti prishtam gireriva. Upanishad says all that. I am the one who sustains the whole creation. This is the teaching of the Upanishads, which is a fact also. Even then, unless I claim the kingdom by destroying the enemies, I am not able to get that benefit. So he says, Shatru Samharam Akritva. If the king does not destroy the enemies who have taken away his legitimate kingdom, and Akhila Bhushriyam Akritva, he does not acquire the kingdom and its wealth, Shriyam means all this wealth. Without these two jobs, the suffering Raja who doesn't have a kingdom now, who is in a forest abandoned and all that, he goes on telling, Aham Raja Asmi, Aham Raja Asmi. What is the benefit of that statement? Raja aham iti shabdat. By repeating the words, I am the Raja, Raja bhavitum na arhati. He cannot become a king at all. It will be only an imagination. So if he has to really claim that aham Raja asmi and enjoy the royal team, then he should stop verbalizing but start acting. In the same way, the Upanishad says, aham brahmasmi and the kingdom of moksha is in you. You are the king of moksha samrajya. I keep on saying that also. Shankaracharya says, stop verbalizing, but start acting. What is action to be done? Shankaracharya, he does not say, we have to supply that here. We have to destroy the enemy of ajnana with enough forces. What are the forces? With viveka, vairagya, shama, dama, uparama, tidiksha, shraddha, samadhanam, mumukshutvam, shastram, guru, all are required to fight that war. Not only ajnanam enemy, the samshaya enemy also, doubting, lack of conviction. How can I be Atman? How I can be Brahman? And there is also the habitual emotional problem. Jealousy, depression are all habitual to me. Right from birth, they are all there. Known as viparyayaha. So ajnana, samshaya, viparyaya, all these enemies, they all have to be fought. The war is what? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and the enemy is all this viveka, all these things, the shastram, and the army is all this shastram and all those things, you know, viveka, vairagya, shamadi, shatka, sampattiki, mumukshutvam. So all these things, they are all the army with which we have to fight this. Unless you attack, mere aham brahma asmi recitation will not lead to anything. That's what Acharya says. Shloka 65.
ఆప్తోక్తిం కననం తతో పరిశీలాత్యుత్కర్షణం స్వీకృతిం నిక్షేప సమపేక్షతే నహి బహిః శబ్దైస్తు నిర్గచ్చతి తద్వత్ బ్రహ్మ వితోపదేశ మనన ధ్యానాదిభిర్లభ్యతే మాయా కార్యతి రోహితం స్వమమలం తత్వం న దుర్యుక్తిభిః. సేమ్ ఐడియా ఇస్ అగైన్ కంటిన్యూడ్. ఎర్లియర్ హీ సెడ్ స్టాప్ టాకింగ్ అండ్ స్టార్ట్ యాక్టింగ్, దట్స్ వాట్ హీ సెడ్. నౌ హీ సేస్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద యాక్షన్ టు బి డన్, వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ యాక్టింగ్. ఫస్ట్ గో త్రూ కర్మయోగ అండ్ దెన్ గో త్రూ జ్ఞానయోగ, దట్ ఈస్ ద యాక్షన్. బట్ శంకరాచార్య హీ గివ్స్ అస్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ డౌట్. హీ అస్యూమ్స్ దట్ వీ హెవ్ ఆల్రెడీ గాన్ త్రూ కర్మయోగ అండ్ వీఆర్ ఆల్ నౌ కర్మయోగీస్, వీఆర్ ఆల్ అధికారీస్, దట్స్ వాట్ హీ సేస్. దట్ ఈస్ పెర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ పంచ మహాయజ్ఞ, లీడింగ్ ఎ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మ అండ్ కాంట్రిబ్యూషన్ టు సొసైటీ టు గెయిన్ చిత్తశుద్ధి, సో లీడింగ్ ఎ ధార్మిక్ లైఫ్, ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్ డన్ బై అస్. సో సిన్స్ ఆచార్య అస్యూమ్స్ దట్ దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్రెడీ అకాంప్లిష్డ్, హీ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్స్ జ్ఞాన యోగా హియర్, ఇన్వాల్వింగ్ శ్రవణం, మననం, నిధిధ్యాసనం, ద త్రీ ఫోల్డ్ యాక్షన్స్. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఇస్ సెడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ శ్లోక. టు కన్వే దిస్ ఐడియా హీ గివ్స్ అన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్. సపోజ్ దర్ ఇస్ అ పూర్ పర్సన్ having a small piece of barren land, let us say, and no means for food or even to fill the land with anything, and he does not have any other energy also, so he is suffering. And at such a stage, someone comes and tells him, you are not a poor person, but you are the richest person in this world, he comes and tells him. Then this guy wonders, how can that be possible? The other person, being a friend and a suhrat, he tells him, under the land that you own, this barren land, there is a huge treasure worth billions of dollars. The moment he gets this information, he has known that he is the richest. And also he knows it is true, since the person who told the information to him is a good friend. He will not bluff. So he is an apta purushaha. That is to be assumed. Now, even though he may be the richest and go on saying that I am the richest, I am the richest, his hunger will still continue. It will not go away. So what should he do? Until he acquires the treasure, the hunger and poverty will continue. So he should act. For that he has to do what is known as khananam. He should dig the ground and take the treasure after removing the mud, the rocks and all that. And he should own that up. Then only he can enjoy richness. Shankaracharya says, three stages are required to own up the richness. Number one, someone should tell that there is treasure underneath with convincing proof. He should be a good person. This is called aptoktihi, apta vachanam, statement of trustworthy person. And two, I have to acquire it. For that, I have to do khananam, digging, and uncover the treasure. Ignorance was the obstacle earlier. Now that is gone. Now I should find it, remove the mud, etc., which are not that hard. And third one, I should remove all the obstacles like rocks. There is a bed of rocks underneath. So, shiladi utkarshanam. Shila means rock, which are very hard to remove. The soft sand and soil I can dig easily, but the rocks are embedded in them, very difficult to remove. Then the wealth will be in my hand. So, aptoktihim, khananam, shiladi utkarshanam are the three stages to get this treasure. Now, if you have to extend this to a poor samsari Vedantic seeker, like the poor person samsari Vedantic seeker, poor in what? Poor peace of mind, poor in security, poor in ananda. He is embodiment of sorrow, such a miserable person. In addition, he is going in search of peace everywhere. He goes to this ashrama and that ashrama, this guru and that guru. Goes on looking for happiness somewhere. Then this apta purushaha, namely the guru or Vedas that come to him, and that guru tells him that the security or peace or ananda he seeks is nothing but Brahman. And that is not elsewhere, it is yourself. That's what he is telling him. But initially, the conviction or belief will not be there. How I can be Brahman? I am a poor, lesser than the lesser, the least mortal I am. How can I be the richest person? How can I be Brahman? So initially, the conviction will not be there. So I keep on asking questions. That is called Upakramadi Shadlingaihi Vedanta Vicharaha. Analyzing the Upanishad until I am convinced that the Vedic statement is a valid fact.
Brahman is not elsewhere. It is myself. This is the first stage. This is Shravana. Now I know I need not go outside for peace or security. And then the stage two is different questions will be raised by different minds according to its background. A scientist will ask one set of questions. A psychologist will ask another set of questions. How this Brahman can be? Do you know what it is? Is there any proof for all of them? So people will ask all those kinds of questions, and Vedanta cannot particularly answer every question of the seeker. Only the main ones it will answer. So based on the sampled questions and the answers given by the scriptures, this person should find out the answer for his question. The process of independent reflection is required. That is called mananam, the digging process in the example. So removal of all the earth. That is why there is this Subhashita, Acharyat Padam Adatte Padam Sishyaswamedhaya. The teacher gives only one quarter of the knowledge. And the Sishya, by his own intellect, by his own analysis, he gains another quarter. So apply his intellect and find out believing in the teaching. That is called Shraddha, to help him. Called Shraddha means what? Shruti Sammata Tarkaha, using the logic which will go along with. He has to go along with the Upanishads. He cannot use logic to contradict what the Upanishad teaches. He has to go along with the Upanishad. The final stage of getting the knowledge is removing the solid rocks, which are all our habitual notions, that I am a samsari, I cannot be a muktaha, certainly not in this life. People always think, in this, definitely not in this life I can get moksha. I myself am anti-myself many times. So all these habitual notions, the habitual anger, habitual jealousy, habitual dvesha, all those things have to be removed. So these are all like solid rocks. They can be all removed by nididhyasanam only. I do not hate anyone. I am not jealous of anyone. So mere verbalization is not enough. Do these three things, ravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, by being committed. Then alone you will own up the treasure of Atma Samrajya. This is the idea that is given here. Now if you look at the shloka, the first two lines give the example. Nikshepaha sama pekshate. Here treasure requires, sama pekshate means requires, these three actions for owning up. Nikshepaha means the treasure. One is aptoktim. The information should be told by a reliable source, like a trustworthy friend. That is shravanam, like a guru. And two is kananam. Kananam is digging. I ask myself how many questions I raise. I have to find answers. I should go through the mananam process. Without any doubt, I should understand. Then three is tatha upari shiladi utkarshanam. From the loose earth, we have come to the solid rock bed. So upari utkarshana means what? Throwing out, removing out all those solid rocks. And finally, swikritim, owning up, which is the result of getting the treasure. So the first three are sadhana, and the fourth one, swikritim, refers to sadhya, the goal. So all these are required in case of nikshepa, the treasure. And without doing all these, but keeping on reciting the mantra, I have the treasure, I have the treasure, I have the treasure, means nothing. So he says, shabdaihi bahihi nahi nirgachati. By mere verbalization, shabdaihi bahihi, the treasure will not come out. So you need all these actions. This is the example. Now, tadvat. Tadvat means similarly. Tattvam. Tattvam in the fourth line. Reality or peace or ananda, that also requires threefold pursuits. One is brahmavida upadeshaha. A guru has to convince me through his teaching. That is shravanam. On the part of the teacher, it is upadeshaha. On the part of the student, it is shravanam. And afterwards, mananam. Am I convinced that I am free here and now? All doubts will be there because the body and I are mixed up right from birth. Why? Right from this birth, from so many births. So I should go on analyzing, remove all my doubts and own up the idea, yes, I am Brahman. And third one is dhyanadibihi. Dhyanadibihi here refers to nididhyasana. It is not a thinking process in In mananam, there is logical thinking is involved. Rationalization is involved in mananam. But in nididhyasanam, there is no rationalization or thinking, but seeing the fact or remaining in the fact for a length of time. Aham Brahma Asmi. In that thought, I am there forever. Adi. Adi means, refers to samadhi. Samadhi is that deep absorption, assimilation, absorption. Why we call it a deep absorption? Because in personal worries, we are deeply involved. Throughout our life, we are so deeply engrossed in our personal worries. So as such, we are as much deeply involved we are in our worries, so much deeply we should be involved in the worry-free Atma also, unless we think so deep. This Shankaracharya is going to elaborate this in later portion of Viveka Chudamani. He spends more than 100 shlokas for this Nididhyasana alone. Viveka Chudamani is a unique work to emphasize Nididhyasana. There are so many other texts, they talk about Shravanam generally, but this is Nididhyasana is emphasized so much. So by Dhyanadibihi, Tattvam Labhyate, Anandaha Surupam Labhyate. Tattvam refers to Ananda Surupaha. So Swam Tattvam, your own Tattvam, your own Ananda Surupaha, you will get Swam. And Amalam Tattvam, which is free from any malas or impurities, like Raga, Dvesha, Kama, Krodha, Punyam, Papa, all those things. Devoid of all this. And this tattvam is covered by what? In the case of treasure, it was covered by mud, rock, etc. In the case of Atma, it is covered by mental obstacle. He says, the mental obstacle is what? Maya karya tirohitam. Maya karya tirohitam. Covered by maya or avidya or ignorance. And karyam, maya is avidya or ignorance. And karyam refers to the products of ignorance. What are the products of ignorance? Doubt, habitual false notion, the deha vimana, they are all products. So samshaya and viparyaya at mental level. Tirohita means hidden, covered ones. That hidden brahmananda, the security, the fullness, labhyate, one can accomplish. One can accomplish that hidden treasure called brahmananda, security in life. Fullness in life, that thing one can gain. Na duryukti bihi. It can never be accomplished by dry reasoning. That is called duryukti bihi. Based on perceptual data, like scientific data or common sense data, one cannot get that knowledge by using any of them. Proper reasoning is the one based on scriptural information. That's what is required. Because perceptual data can never deal with the observer. It can always deal with the observed only, not the subject. And when the observer is the topic, we need to include scriptural data. Otherwise, perceptive data will be good. We need to include scriptural data if one has to study the observer. So that logic is called duryuktihi. Dealing with only perceptual data, that is called duryuktihi. By that, na labhyate, you can never get liberation. So that is the idea conveyed in the shloka. We will continue in the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya yaparasa maheshwaraha sri krishna arpanamastu.